Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Today, inshallah, sisters, we will continue our classes, which are about optimism. And inshallah, the title of the classes today is After Every Hardship, There Is Ease. We all agree that hardships and trials are part of everyone's life. The most important thing for us is to have the positive attitude of expecting the good from Allah. That is to say, to trust Allah and His plans, and to be sure that after every hardship there is ease, and with every hardship there is ease. During such difficult times, you need an optimistic attitude. That is to say, an attitude waiting for the relief to come soon, being sure that relief is so close. This attitude will support you to keep your patience during the hardship and to keep you positively assured that the good days are very close. After every hardship, there is ease. Life is one task after another, one issue after another. However, it is important to know that while life is a test, there is ease after hardship. The rule is that tough times only means that the times of ease are near. When it is dark, everything seems still as if it will never go away. But Allah said in the Quran the meaning of the morning light after the stillness of darkness. All the time you have to wait for the morning light. The fact that nothing remains forever and nothing remains the same. This is a very important fact in life, which actually every one of us needs to remember, especially during the hardship. Nothing remains forever, nothing remains the same. Today, inshallah, we will learn a chapter of the Holy Quran, which is a message of optimism, and inshallah, we will learn a supplication, which we need to remind ourselves with it all the time. The chapter which we will learn today is the chapter of At-Talaq. In Arabic, it is the chapter of divorce. In that chapter, there are seven rules, which are rules of hope. In the chapter of divorce, Allah sent to us seven rules of hope. It is actually the chapter of optimism. Inshallah, now we will recite every verse of that chapter, and inshallah, Surah At-Talaq, we will learn from it a lot of the laws of hope, which inshallah will help us always to be positive and to have a positive attitude during any hardship. Inshallah, we will start now by reciting verse number 1 from Surah At-Talaq, chapter of divorce. Surah At-Talaq, chapter verse is chapter number 65, and inshallah now we will recite verse number 1 and we will learn the first rule of optimism from Surah At-Talaq.
Allah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu idha tallaqtumun nisaa fatallikuhunna li'iddatihinna wa akhsu al-'iddah واتقوا الله ربكم لا تخرجوهن من بيوتهن ولا يخرجن إلا أن يأتين بفاحشة مبينة وتلك حدود الله ومن يتعد حدود الله فقد ظلم نفسه لا تدري لعل الله يحدث بعد ذلك أمرا.
Then I will inform you a first rule, inshallah. Go ahead.
Verse number 1?
Number 1.
O Prophet, when you Muslims divorce women, divorce them for the commencement of their waiting period, and keep count of the waiting period, and fear Allah, your Lord, Do not turn them out of their husband's houses, nor should they leave during this period unless they are committed to immorality. And those are the limits set by Allah. And whoever transgresses the limits of Allah has certainly wronged herself. You know not, perhaps Allah will bring about after that a different matter.
So actually, sister, this is the chapter of divorce or Surah Al-Talaq from the Holy Quran. And in spite of the fact that we all agree that divorce is considered a hardship, especially for the wife, as it is actually the decision of the husband to take it. So it is out of Allah's mercy that He sent for us in that chapter of divorce, 7 rules or 7 laws of hope in that chapter, so that we always realize that Allah is the most merciful, and even in the very difficult hardships, there is still a lot of hope. In verse number 1, Allah the Almighty is sending the message to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and to all the Muslims that when they divorce their wives, they must divorce them and follow the rules of the Islam regarding the waiting period. And they must fear Allah the Almighty and not to turn the wives out of their houses except according to the law of divorce. And at the end of that verse of the Holy Quran, Allah sent a law or a rule of hope or a message of hope, which is, you know not, perhaps Allah will bring about after that a different matter. Okay? And we can have it actually in a different language, which is, Allah has the power to make a lot of issues which we don't expect. Okay, you don't know. Allah is mentioning to Prophet Muhammad and to every one of us, you know not. Perhaps Allah will bring about after that a different matter. Okay, so actually, sisters, the meaning of this law of hope is that people always tend to think of the present moment, the situation they are in with all its difficulties. They are imprisoned in this present time. They feel that what they are going through now will be their permanent lot. They will never change. The difficulty will never change. The hardship will be all the time. Yet the truth is different, because Allah will always change things and brings about what people had never thought possible. Allah opens up hope and brings ease after hardship. We must believe that Allah initiates at any moment situations that might never have been dreamed of. In conclusion, Allah wants this truth to be clearly understood by every believer, so that we can continue to look up with hope to what Allah puts before us. We must all the time be optimistic, thinking of what Allah may grant us and what prospects He opens before us. We must always remember that the next moment can bring something beyond our dreams. And actually, sisters, this is the strategy of success. This is the law of optimism. Always expect the good from Allah, and it will be what you expect. So from rule number 1 or law number 1, all the time send to yourself the message that Allah can make a change in a second. The hardship can end in a second. There are a lot of issues going on around me for my sake. Allah is planning it, and inshallah I will know it soon. So the difficulty is not forever, and Allah inshallah will make the change for my sake very soon. This is number 1 law or rule of hope in this chapter of the Holy Quran. We will recite now the second verse of the surah, and we will learn the second law of hope.
I have a question.
Okay.
What's mean here? I mean, they explain the fahisha by immorality.
Okay.
Can you give me examples of how the woman?
Yes, if she has a relation with another man, this is al-fahisha in Islam. the worst.
Fahisha is just it's a relationship outside marriage.
Yes. Or a relation without marriage.
Yeah.
Either of them. Any relation which is not legal. This is al-fahisha in this.
So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, لَا تَحْلِي لَعَلَّ اللَّهُ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا, is this referred to the one who is divorcing or to the woman or to both?
No, this is a general rule. You know, this is a general rule of the Holy Quran, but Allah is applying it to this surah because this is one of the difficult hardships for any woman. If my husband divorced me, so what is the hope after this? I am already divorced. I am already out. I am already helpless. No, Allah is sending the message that what you are saying is wrong. Maybe you are divorced, but there are other issues going on which will make a lot of change for you and a better hope for you. Okay, this is the meaning of this verse. Now we will recite the second verse of Surah Al-Talaq.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فَإِذَا بَلَغْنَا أَجَلَهُنَّ فَامْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ فَارِقُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَأَشْهِدُوا ذَوِي عَدْلٍ مِنْكُمْ وَأَقِيمُوا الشَّهَادَةَ لِلَّهِ ذَلِكُمْ يُوعَظُ بِهِ مَنْ كَانَ يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. And when they have nearly fulfilled their term, either retain them accordingly to acceptable terms or part with them accordingly to acceptable terms, and bring to witness two just men from among you and establish the testimony for their acceptance of Allah. That is instructed to whoever should believe in Allah in the last day. And whoever fears Allah, He will make for him a way out.
So actually, sisters, the rule in this verse of the Quran, I will explain to you the whole verse, but the rule is that whoever fears Allah, He will make for him a way out. Okay, this is the second rule of hope in this chapter of the Holy Quran. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will make for him a way out. The meaning of this verse of the Quran is that when they are fulfilled their term, this means that if a husband divorced his wife for the first time, she can stay at home for 3 months. But if the 3 months are about to finish, he is supposed either to tell her that I will cancel this or I will forget about it and stay with me and we can continue our life. Normally this is for the first and the second divorce. Okay, you can stay with me or this is the end between me and you and now you have to leave the home because this is for me considered a divorce and we are already divorced now. Okay, so this is the 3 months which Allah make it for the husband and wife to stay together. Maybe, you know, again the love will be between each other. Maybe he will feel sympathy for her. Maybe she can try her best to get him again. So this is the time period when Allah give it to, what Allah give it to the husband and wife to try to keep the marriage. If they succeeded, well and good, they can continue. If they don't, and if he decided that this is a divorce and they cannot continue together, she has to leave the house.
So within this three-month period, yes. They should not have any relationship?
No, it is up to him. You know, the story says, suppose today a husband says to his wife, you are divorced. Mm-hmm. Okay? So he has the right at night to have a relation with her. This is one counted by Allah and it is ended already for him and she is again his wife. Okay?
But he can't have relations with her and then decide to divorce her, right?
No. He can divorce her at any time. Okay, but divorce is a problem for the pregnant wife. You know, if the wife is pregnant, the divorce will be, postponed until she puts the baby. The minute she puts the baby, she is divorced. Yeah. Subhanallah, yeah. Okay, so actually now, if the 3 months has ended and he didn't touch her and he told her this is final, we failed to have a good marriage again, this is a divorce.
So for okay? Those 3 months, we have to be in the same house?
Yes, during the 3 months, she has to stay, you know. It is better to stay. Sometimes the husband, you know, asks the wife to leave. Sometimes she is very upset and she decided that she doesn't want to stay. But according to the rules of the Quran, she has the right to stay. If she said, I want to stay in my house, she can
stay. She has
stay.
The right to, but she doesn't have to.
She has the right.
She has the right.
She has the right. But he can treat her in a bad way so that she must leave. You know, it is all, you know, this is why Allah the Almighty in this chapter of the Quran, which is a very sensitive relation between a husband and wife. And you know, sister, this is the problem actually in the relations between the human beings. This divorce is not between two strangers. This divorce is between two persons whom they choose each other and loved each other and planned a life with each other and they lived with each other and shared a lot of hopes and days with each other. Then there were some problems between them and they decided to leave each other, or one of them decided. They must have the mercy and the respect and the fear of Allah, because we are not strangers. He saw her body naked and she saw him. This is very special relation. We are not supposed, you know, to just break it as if I never know him or I never know her and I will, you know, talk about her very bad things and I will show her the worst days of her life. What is this? What is this? This is against humanity, not against Islam or against mercy. This is against the basic rules of humanity. If you have a servant at home, not a wife, if you have a servant, and she served you for years, and one day you notice that, you know, she is not honest, okay, you will just tell her, thank you very much for all the days, okay, take your money and go. That's it. But human beings are not following the rules, you know, of the mercy of Allah. They will, you know, take her to police and they will say she is this and that, and they will not give her her money at all, her salary for years. They will keep it and they will show their oppression. You know, this is the problem of the human beings. We always talk very good language, but when we practice, we are very bad. And according to this, you know, Allah will judge every one of us. Accordingly, Allah is clarifying, you know, sister, that Allah is saying that when they fulfilled their term, okay, treat them in a good way. Keep them, retain them according to acceptable terms, you know. And actually, in the Arabic, it is not acceptable. Okay, in the Arabic, it is a good way. Ma'roof, al-ma'roof means that to treat the people in a very nice, respectable way. So if you want her to stay, but you don't want to talk to her or to touch her or anything, let her stay at home, but let her stay with the respect and with the kind treatment. And also, if you plan to let her go, also with respect and with the kind treatment, and have two witnesses, okay? And this witness is, you know, with Allah the Almighty, أَقِيمُ الشَّهَادَةَ لِلَّهِ, bring to witness, to witnesses two just men from among you and establish the testimony of for Allah. Allah is there, sister. This is the problem. Allah was there when we start our marriage and when we write the contract of the marriage. Allah was the witness. And at the time of the divorce, He is the same. Allah is also the witness. Okay? Allah is clarifying that is instructed to whoever should believe in Allah and the last day. Okay? Whoever believes in Allah and the last day will treat the woman, his wife, in a good way, with respect. If he plans to keep her as his wife, or if he plans to send her and to divorce her, if he believes in Allah and in the last day, he is instructed to treat her with the good and kind treatment. And then Allah, if the human being decided not to treat each other with the kind treatment and the respect, Allah is there. Okay, so Allah is sending the message, and whoever fears Allah, He will make for him a way out. If your husband was not kind with you at the time of divorce, or he didn't respect you, don't worry, because Allah is the one who has all the power, sister. Again and again, Allah is reminding every one of us, and this is the reality of the message of hope. The reality of the message of hope is that the decisions are not up to the human beings. The power is not for the human beings. You know, the future is not for the human beings. The power, the future, the decision is only for Allah. So if the human beings are oppressing each other, don't worry. This is a message for the oppressor. You know, the one who is oppressed. Don't worry. So long you fear Allah, Allah will make for you an outlet. Even if the husband is not making that outlet, Allah will be the one to make the outlet.
Okay, so for the appointed term that says night, it's 3 months. What happens if 3 months is not followed in?
If the 3 months are not followed, mm-hmm. you must go. That wife, she must go to the sheikh, you know, to the respectable man, you know, because in the Muslim countries it is different from America. In the Muslim countries, you will go to the judge. Okay, and you will inform the judge that, you know, I am the story is 1, 2, 3, and he is not following the rules, and the judge will interfere immediately. Now, for example, in Egypt, this is the, you know, the kind of problems which will be, the decision will be taken within 2 days, you know, because it is related to the family, and there are kids also whom they may suffer from the divorce. So in our countries, you go to the judge, and it is actually called the court, family court. It is called the family court. Okay, but here in America, I think the only way, if you are married according, because when you marry in America, you marry according to Islam in the masjid, and you marry, you know, American marriage, or what is called the law.
Civil law.
Yes, so the civil law will not solve the problem, because you have to go to the court. But if you are married according to Islam, you can go to the sheikh, and the sheikh can make a trial, but the problem is that. This is actually a problem with the Muslim husband. If he decided to give hard time to his wife, none will stop him except Allah. Except Allah. You know, this is what I learned from... This is our problem. You know, to have the divorce according to the American law and the court is more easy and more simple and straightforward. Actually, I have one of my sisters, she has a problem with her husband, and he decided to divorce her, and she just recorded some of his, you know, words to her. With that record, she was divorced from the first session in the court. Very simple. But the problem is that she was still married to him according to Islam. So they tried, you know, with him to say to her, you are divorced according to Islam. He said, I will never say it to her. And now, let her suffer. You know, she is married and not married. According to the civil law, she is not married to him. But according to Islam, he didn't say, you are divorced.
So according to Islam,
he said to her, hmm?
So according to Islam, the woman cannot say it, the man has to say it.
Yes, you don't know this?
unless when you get married, you put in the contract that you have the right to divorce him.
Yes, but many husbands, they refuse this thing.
They refuse it,
yeah. They say, no, I am the man. Allah gave me the right to divorce. I will never give it to you. You know? But in Islam, only the man has the right to divorce. And he must say it 3 times. If he said 2 times, and he kept the 3rd one, he cannot, you know? So the people will try to beg him. In spite of the fact he is beating her. But the father and mother, yes, this is the problem. We'll go and tell him, for the sake of Allah, we'll give you money, we'll give you everything, please say the word. No, I will not say it. You know, actually, before that family court in Egypt, the divorced wives, they always have very big problems with their... You can't imagine it. You know, this is the issue. You know, this is why Allah is sending this message in this chapter of the Quran. Always the husband will divorce once, and then will tell her, I will not say the other two. You are not married and you are not divorced. And I will leave you until you die. Show me your power. You see? And life will continue like this. Years and years. Then what will be the end? The wife will do bad issues. Unfortunately. You know? And the kids also, you know, will live very bad life. Because this is a father, this is an attitude of... You can't imagine the problem of divorce if the husband planned to give the wife hard time in Islam. You know, I saw all of this.
But only Allah will punish him.
Allah will punish him, but she will lose her life. She will lose her manners. She will lose her trust in anything. This is the man whom she chose to live with him. Now, if we have different points of view, this is the way to treat your wife. So, but Allah is there. Let me actually mention to you the second law of hope in this chapter of the Quran. For everyone who fears Allah, Allah will grant a way out. This is a general rule based on the fact that Allah has the power over all things. This is a rule. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah can do everything. He is absolute, having unrestricted power. If you fear Allah and you obey Allah, Allah will fulfill His promise to you, and through His power He will make for you a solution. But you must fear Allah. You must fear Allah so that Allah will make for you an outlet, because Allah can achieve anything and everything. Allah is the controller of the heavens and the earth and the hearts. So actually, sisters, in spite of the fact that it is a very complicated issue, but you must keep your trust in Allah, and you must believe that Allah can do anything which you never expect. Maybe he will die, that husband will die in a second. Nobody knows how Allah will solve the problem, but we must believe that for everyone who fears Allah, Allah will grant a way out. We will continue with verse number 3, because there is another two rules of hope in verse number 3.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
You can continue, you know, Ghada, you can start from وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا, and you continue, because the last statement of verse number 2 is the continuation of verse number 3.
وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا.
Okay, three, can read 2 and 3, because they are continuations in
2 and 3 again?
No, you can start 2 from sister. We will read the last 2 lines, and whoever fears Allah, the last 2 lines of verse number 2, because it is a continuation of 3. So okay. You will start and
And whoever fears Allah, He will make for him a way out, and will provide for him from where he does not expect. And whoever relies upon Allah, then He is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish His purpose. Allah has already set for everything a decreed extent.
So actually, sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, there are 3 loads of hope in this verse of the Quran. Number 1, whoever fears Allah, Allah will provide for him from where he does not expect. And this is the most important. The most important is that for hope, not the fact that Allah will provide me from what I expect. No, the hope will touch my heart when Allah will provide me from where I don't expect. Okay, so if I don't expect, for example, to marry this year, okay, I never expect. I am old, or I forget about it, or whatever. Then I married, so this means that Allah provides me while I don't expect. If I was looking for a baby and then I say, let me postpone it for some time, and then one day I realize that I am pregnant, so this means that Allah provide me while I don't expect. I was not planning, I was not focused. And to keep on, this is, you know, a fact in the Quran. Whoever fears Allah, Allah will provide him from where he doesn't expect. And this is very important, sisters, because we always feel that all the doors are closed. How I will be provided? And provision is not only wealth, provision is everything. Okay, happiness, health, wealth, kids, family, love, mental peace, whatever. How I will be provided with this? All the doors are closed. Okay, the answer, you will be provided from where you don't expect. Why? Because this is Allah. This is not the normal human being. This is not our normal expectation. This is Allah the Almighty who can provide you from where you don't expect. So all the time, sisters, don't believe that all the doors are closed. If I go to the doctor and the doctor said to me, there is no hope for you, I am not supposed to say, yes, doctor, I agree. No, no, no. This is no hope up to your science, up to your knowledge. But up to my Lord, He said in the Holy Quran that if I fear Him, He will provide me from where I don't expect. So my hope is with me. I will never lose it. My hope in Allah, the one who can do everything, the one who can change everything, the one who is able to do what we never expect. So this is the rule number one regarding hope in this verse of the Quran. Then the second rule in the same verse, Allah said, and whoever relies upon Allah, then he is sufficient for him. This is very important, sister, to send for you the message of the mental peace. Allah is sufficient. Allah is enough. Allah can do everything. Allah will take care of everything. Okay? Don't try to think it over day and night. Where is the solution? What will happen? How I can solve my problem? Who can help me? How I can reach the situation? No, sister, just fear Allah. Focus on your relation on the one who has all the power and who can make the changes in seconds. Okay? If you focus on Allah and you feel how Allah is powerful, okay, when you have this feeling, sister, the power of Allah, the will of Allah, the mercy of Allah, when it is clear to your spirit, immediately you will rely on Him. Because every one of us wants to rely on the power so that I can have some mental peace. I am helpless. What can I do? I want to rely on a power which He can do, which He can change. This is Allah. He can do and He can change. So I will rely on Allah. The minute you send to Allah the true message, the sincere message, oh Allah, I am relying on you, be sure that Allah is sufficient for you. Allah will take care of everything. Allah is only in need for the message of you to send it to Him, that I believe in you, I believe in your absolute power, I know that none can give me, make for me any harm, or none can give me any benefit except you, O Allah. So I am relying on you, you are sufficient for me, I am sure you will provide me from nowhere. If you send this message, sisters, in the middle of any tough hardship, be sure that inshallah you will feel a lot of tranquility and peace, and gradually the circumstances will change. You will not be aware what is going on, how this is happening. Okay, but what you will realize is that Allah the Almighty is helping me, supporting me, taking care of me, making for me an outlet and a way, inshallah, so long I keep my expectations the best regarding Allah. Then Allah is sending the third rule or law of hope. Allah will accomplish His purpose. Okay, regarding this verse of the Quran, okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In another language, Allah has a measure for everything. Okay, everything is given due measure. Okay, what is the meaning of this verse, sisters? For example, now I am living in America, but I feel that I am old enough. Oh Allah, I want to return to Egypt to live with my brothers and sisters. Now my daughters are already away and I am alone. So now, inshallah, oh Allah, I want to leave America within 6 months and I am planning and I will sell my house in America and I will buy an apartment in Egypt. I am so excited. My time to leave, inshallah, is by the end of December. Okay? This is your timing. Okay? Allah said in the Holy Quran that Allah has a measure for everything. You are under the impression that the best time to leave is by the end of December. But up to the knowledge of Allah, the wisdom of Allah, the mercy of Allah, this is the worst time for you to leave America. Okay? So Allah will postpone you. Maybe 6 months, 1 year, whatever. Okay, so as a believer in the mercy of Allah, I will never be upset. I will always believe that Allah has a measure for everything regarding the time, regarding the place, regarding the circumstances. This is not the best time for you, Mona, okay, to move. Okay? Why, oh Allah? Because you don't know. Because you must believe that nothing is the result of blind coincidence. Okay? There is no blind coincidence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a measure for everything. So, if I am planning for something and Allah postponed that plan or Allah cancelled that plan for some time, I am supposed to say all praise to Allah. All praise to Allah. I am never upset. I am never in a hurry. I am patient with the decree of Allah because I don't know and because He has a measure. It is not my luck. People always say, I am very unlucky. Always unlucky. Always. Whatever I plan for, Allah will stop it for me. Don't know why. Why? Because you are a very important person. Allah is, you know, taking very special care of you. What is this? What is this, sister? This is Allah, sister. Life is so complicated. You can't imagine how life is complicated. Maybe the time which I am planning to move to America, to move to Egypt, is the time when the violence will start in Egypt. I was planning to go to Egypt for a visit last year. And whenever I plan, and I got the ticket 2 weeks before my ticket, you know, violence will start in Egypt. So my husband will tell me, don't go. So I tell him, why? I was for 6 years planning to go to Egypt. And I can't go for 6 years. And my brothers and sisters, you know, I have 2 brothers and 1 sister. They were very upset with me. They are telling me, Mona, Mona, you don't want to come. I told them, you can see my ticket. Or I can say, you know, I can send for you the ticket. I had the ticket. And I am always losing $200, you know, whenever you cancel or you postpone the ticket. Okay? But this is Allah. So they will tell me, you know, are you upset that you didn't come? To tell you the truth, sister, and Allah knows. In spite of the fact, you know, I was always looking forward to go. The minute I know that I am not going, I am so relieved. I don't know who, yes, because this is issued out of my hand. I don't know, maybe I will not be able to reach. Maybe if I reach, I will have a car accident. Maybe I will never be able to return to America. Maybe, maybe, maybe. So long, I don't know. So I agree with Allah for everything. Okay, so this is a law of hope. When you believe that Allah has a measure for everything, sister, some people, they consider this is not a law of hope. This is a law of, you know, preventing me from my dreams. No, this is the law of hope. Hold on with the worldly life. Worldly life is not only dreams. You want to say something?
I had a friend, she was American, and they came from Egypt right before Ramadan. They were planning to return to Egypt, and she was very worried because of everything going on over there. And the day they left, they missed their flight. They missed their flight, so they had to wait like 2 more weeks to go. And so they finally went like last Friday, I think.
Yeah.
But,
and we went in the best time.
Allah has His own timing for everything.
Yes, yes,
you know?
This is the issue.
And I just read on the internet that there was a pilot who had a heart attack on the airplane.
Yeah.
A pilot had a heart attack on the airplane. That alhamdulillah, there, you know, this flight, it was, everything was good. But just how things can happen, you know, like we don't expect, you know, like, and alhamdulillah, you know.
But the most important is that the human beings, you know, will accept. Yeah. You know, Allah's decree and Allah's plans, and I always have hope that whenever He will postpone for me any hope or any dream, you know, or any goal, this is for my sake because Allah is the most merciful. Okay, so actually, sister, sadness, worry, or upset will not put an end to any hardship. We must believe in this. Oh Allah, this is too long time. Oh Allah, where is the end? Oh Allah, what will happen? Oh Allah, I am not patient anymore. Okay, if you say all of this, this will not make any change in your situation. It will make it worse. Because you are sending to Allah a message that you are not happy with Him, and this is actually not good with Allah.
Can you say that again? Sadness,
worry. Yes, sadness, worry, or upset will not put an end to any hardship. Because the hardship will end at the time set by Allah. Okay? So don't send wrong messages to Allah, messages of impatience or not accepting, being not accepting the decree. Be optimistic until Allah will make for you an outlet according to His plan, wisdom and knowledge, which we don't know. Okay? Try to believe that it is not up to me, it is up to Him, the most merciful. So I will call on Him and have a new hope every day that the outlet is so close. And actually, sister, this is a very important strategy during the hardship. I will mention to you now and I will repeat it again. Whenever you have severe hardship and you are a believer that Allah is the most merciful, and you believe in the law of optimism in Islam, that when I expect good from Allah, it will be good. Every day in the morning, say to yourself, inshallah, today Allah will make for me an outlet. Inshallah, today is the day of outlet. So I will be optimistic. I will try to enjoy the day. I will have a very big hope. I will have my spirit up. I will do all my responsibilities, inshallah. If you have this attitude, you will get the benefit of the day. You will pray in a good way. You can do to your work. You can do your responsibilities. Okay? And you are sending to Allah a message of trust and hope and belief. This is very important. If the day ends and the outlet is not there, okay, say to yourself, Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. I spent a very good day. So inshallah, tomorrow is the day. So inshallah, tomorrow is the day. Keep on having this strategy. This is the only strategy. The only strategy to save you from the drawbacks or from the problems related to the hardships. Because hardships always cause a lot of troubles. Number one, your relation with Allah. Number two, your relation with the people around you. Number three, your attitude and your refusal to do your responsibilities. I fed up with my life. I am not happy with anyone. I will not go to work. I will not study. I will not eat. I will not take care of myself. I will not, you know, talk to anyone. I will be totally isolated. Good, excellent. This is excellent. You are pressurizing your, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, immune system 100%. And then, when inshallah the time of the outlet or the way of outlet will come, you will be very happy. But unfortunately, you were pressurizing your immune system for a long time. Other problems will start to come in life. And then you will say, oh Allah, why now? Why now, Allah, again I have a problem. Who is the cause of the problem? You or Allah? Why you were not patient? Why you don't believe that He is postponing your dreams not for the sake of making you unhappy? He has the wisdom, He has the knowledge, He knows everything, He is the most merciful. So all the time try to be optimistic. We will learn the fifth law of hope from verse number 4, inshallah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. واللائي يئسن من المحيض من نسائكم إن ارتبتم فعدتهن ثلاثة أشهر واللائي لم يحضن وأولاة الأحمال أجلهن أن يضعن حملهن ومن يتق الله يجعل له من أمره يسرا.
Okay. So actually the law of hope is the last statement also, and whoever fears Allah, He will make for him of his matter ease. Okay? Actually, the translation is not the, you know, the exact one. You know, the translation is that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, whoever fears Allah, Allah will make for him his matters easy. Okay? Okay, let me explain to you the meaning of this verse. for those women, for example, whom she is 38, 39, she is not sure she can have the period anymore or not. Okay, she is the time to lose the period. Okay, and she is not sure, you know, when her husband divorces her, that maybe she's pregnant or not. But it is not likely because she is already about to lose her, you know, not to have any menstruation anymore. So she is supposed to, he is supposed to stay 3 months under observation. The most important is that she will not be divorced while she is pregnant. If she is pregnant, divorce will be postponed until she puts the baby. Okay, so there is no divorce during pregnancy. This is the law. Okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Because maybe the husband will be happy that she has a baby and they don't want the baby, you know, to come to life while the parents are already divorced. So maybe he will think it over and he will not divorce her. So this is a time period again, you know, for them to reunite and not to be divorced. And at the end, again, Allah is saying, and whoever fears Allah, Allah will make for him, he will make his matters easy. Ease is a blessing that anyone or everyone is looking for. Allah grants this great favor for his sincere believers, making things easy for them so that they neither encounter on any difficulty or hardship. What is the meaning of this, sisters? How Allah can make the hardship easy for me? Okay, now I have a hardship. Different hardships. How they can be easy for me, sisters? Okay, I want you to tell me how Allah can make it easy. From the last class. With every hardship, there is ease, sisters. So if you focus on the ease at the time of hardship.
We trust in Allah, everything is possible.
Yes, and there is a very important point I remember last night, and I want to mention it to you. When you have hardship, sisters, hardship is always a stimulator or a motivator for you to have a good relation with Allah. Okay, whenever you are upset or you feel lonely or you are lost, your spirit will remember Allah. This is the time how Allah is creating us. We always remember Him during the hardship. So if you were not close to Allah before the hardship, you are enjoying life and you are not following the rules and you are not obeying Allah, then Allah struck you or Allah causes for you a very big hardship. At that moment, your spirit immediately will move to Allah. Okay, this is how we are created. You will remember Allah. So, if you remember Allah during the hardship, and you feel that, you know, you need to repent because you were far away from Him, and you plan to have a new relation with Allah, and you promise Allah to be a good believer and to obey His commands, this is the reality of the ease during the hardship. You will find Allah during the hardship. When you were not in the hardship, you were away from Allah. But when you are in the middle of the hardship, you find Allah. You pray to Allah. You call on Allah. You rely on Allah. You feel the support of Allah. This is the source of ease during any hardship. And also Allah will make for you an outlet. So during any hardship, try to check your relation with Allah. If you become closer and closer to Allah, if you realize that I was losing the most important blessing of my life, the relation with the Almighty. And if you feel that you are thankful to Allah, that He puts you in that hardship because you come to know Him through that hardship, this is the reality of the ease during any hardship. And be sure that the more you call on Him, the more you rely on Him, the more you believe in Him, inshallah He will make for you an outlet. But the most important is that during that hardship, I come to know Allah the Almighty. And actually, sister, this is, for me, it's part of my life, my personal life. When my mother died suddenly, and she was young, she was 54, and Oh yes, she was 54. She was young and she had lung cancer, and she was very sick over 1 year, extremely sick, you know. And I traveled with her to other countries. I left my kids. It was very difficult time in my life. And I lost my residency. I lost a lot of things in that time for the sake of my mother. I can't believe that my mother will die, you know. This is the death in my life. It was the first time for me, you know, to realize the reality of death. You know, and up till now, you know, I all praise to Allah. I am always calling on Allah to make me to die. No problem, sister. I have faith. You know, I always call on Allah to keep me away from the death of any beloved ones, you know, because this is the worst issue in this worldly life. You know, I always call it vanish. Everything was there, her clothes, you know, the car, everything. But where is my mother? I need my mother. You know, at that time, I have 2 kids. But you can't imagine, you know, how this makes me to change 180 degrees, you know. I decided that I must love someone who never dies. I can't tolerate it anymore, you know. And since that day, I loved Allah the Almighty. That's it. This is my life. My life is with Allah, through the rules of Allah, for the sake of Allah. I am living with Allah all the time, day and night. This is how I have, why I have a very strong relation with the Holy Quran. If you find me at any place, you will find me having the Quran with me. Because this is the source of support. I can tolerate, you know, these realities. You know, that someone who is very close to me, very nice to me, why to die now? Why to lose, you know, that person? And where that person is going, you know, this is the other difficult, very difficult issue. You know, I can't imagine how the human beings are forgetting about this. What is this? You know, every day when I wake up in the morning, I say to myself, Mona, you are on your way to death. This is the only reality. Maybe I can't reach the masjid. I can't return home. I can't see my kids. But 100% one day, I will die. So, you know, sister, this is actually the blessings of the hardship. From that hardship of my mother's death, I changed it completely. All praise to Allah. I am living with Allah. I rely on Allah 100%. I never think of any problem at all. And this is the blessing of Allah. I am not worried about anything in this life. I am just worried about my relation with him. This is the only issue. So long he is taking care of me, all praise to Allah. How, why, when, this is not my business. My business is my relation with Allah. So with every hardship, there is ease. Yes, there is ease. When you call on Allah, especially sisters, before Fajr prayer, 15 minutes before Fajr prayer, wake up for 2 rak'ahs, just recite Surah Al-Fatiha and Qul A'udhu Birabb Al-Falaq, Qul A'udhu, very short surahs, and have the prostration down, okay, and call on Him with your tears. Tell him, oh Allah, where I am going? What can I do? I can't do anything. Everything is difficult. Everything is blocked. But you are there. And you can do anything and everything. I always say to Allah, I call on you, Allah. Because there is only Allah. You are the only one there. So, so whom we are supposed to call except you, oh Allah? Who can help you? Talk to Allah from the depths of your heart. This is the reality of the relief and the ease, mercy, support, power, everything. Your spirit will be alive when you will call on Allah. And when you say to Allah, oh Allah, I can hide all my sadness from everyone on the earth. But I can't hide it from you. Because you are the only one who can shower me with His mercy. And because you know the reality. You know where I am now. I am so low. I am so lonely. I am so afraid. This message, you only say it to Allah. And after you say it to Him, and you feel relieved, this is all what can I do in this worldly life. Oh Allah, take care of everyone. Take care of everything. Take care of me. I am relying on you. Then I will start the worldly life. Having, you know, all the reassurance that Allah is preparing for me the best. Having the best mood. Okay, trying to do my responsibility in the best. Okay, never have fear of anything. out of Allah's mercy. So this is, sisters, how the meaning of the rule: with every hardship there is ease. This is for me the most important ease. And there are also other forms of ease regarding, you know, the hearts around you out of Allah's mercy. So I want you always to be sure that whoever fears Allah, He will make the matter easy for you. Allah will make it, inshallah, easy for you when you fear Him. And fearing Allah, sisters, means that you love Him. We will move now to the next. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We will recite verse 5 and 6, but the seventh law, which is related to after every hardship there is ease, will be in verse number 7. So now we will recite verse 5 and 6, and then we will end 7. Then I will tell you the last rule, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ذلك أمر الله أنزله إليكم ومن يتق الله يكفر عنه سيئاته ويعظم له أجرا
ويعظم
له أجرا أسكنوهن من حيث سكنتم من وجدكم ولا تضاروهن لتضيقوا عليهن إن كن أولات حمل فأنفقوا عليهن حتى يضعن حملهن فإن أرضعن لكم فآتوهن أجورهن وأتمروا بينكم بمعروف وإن تعاسرتم فسترضع له أخرى لينفق ذو سعة من سعته ومن قدر عليه رزقه فلينفق مما آتاه الله لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا ما آتاها سيجعل الله بعد عسر يسرا.
That is the command of Allah, which He has sent down to you, and whoever fears Allah, He will remove for him his misdeeds and make great for him his reward. Lodge them in a section of where you dwell out of your means, and do not harm them in order to oppress them. And if they should be pregnant, then spend on them until they give birth. And if they breastfeed for you, then give them their payment and confer among yourselves in the acceptable way. But if you are in discord, then there may breastfeed for him, for example, the father, another woman. Let a man of wealth spend from his wealth, and he whose provision is restricted, let him spend from what Allah has given him. Allah does not charge a soul except according to what He has given it. Allah will bring about, after hardship, ease.
Okay. So actually, sister, in verse number 7, there are two, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, there are two rules of the of hope. Number one, Allah does not burden anyone with more that He has given them. Okay, what is the meaning of this? This is the general rule. The example here related to divorce is that the husband is supposed to spend according to his level. What is the meaning of this? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, he is supposed to support his wife regarding the maintenance and the housing, okay, according to what he can, okay. For example, if he has plenty of wealth, he must be generous with his wife regarding maintenance and housing. If he has limited provision, he is not blamed for giving according to his means. So everyone must spend according to his means. Okay, this is in relation to the to divorce, but this is again a general rule in Islam. Allah does not burden anyone with more than what He has given them. I am supposed to give charity if I am very poor. Okay, I am supposed to go and help the people if I am very sick. Okay, according to my circumstances, Allah puts on me a burden. Okay, this is rule number 6. The last rule, which is related to class of today, is after hardship, Allah will grant ease. Again, sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this is a rule which we must believe in. What is the rule? The rule is that through, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, through Allah alone, hardship will be followed by ease. You must believe in this. This is the reality of Allah's mercy. Hardship will never be permanent. You must every day say to yourself, hardship is not permanent. Hardship is not permanent. Okay? There is ease. There is a relief. Inshallah, it is very close to me. I am looking for it. I am expecting it. Every day I am expecting that tomorrow is the day of ease and the day of relief. This is the medicine, sisters, for the hardship. The good expectation from Allah, because this is the law of optimism in Islam. Allah is up to your expectation. If you expect that that tomorrow, after my hardship, there will be ease, inshallah there will be ease. There will be ease through your relation with Allah. There will be ease through your dua to Allah. And there will be ease, inshallah, through Allah's mercy. If you don't feel or if you don't believe in this, okay, it is up to you to expect from Allah. There will not be ease after your hardship. So all the time, sisters, we must remind ourselves that Allah promised in the Holy Quran that after every hardship, Allah will grant ease. And oh Allah, I am looking forward for that ease. I am having all the optimism and all the hope that inshallah, the ease is very close to me. Now we will read a story which is a real story. I found that story, subhanAllah, Allah sent it to me for that class, and because of that story, I gave the meaning of this surah. We will read that story, sisters, and it is a real story, and we will learn the reality of what Allah mentioned in the Holy Quran. I want you to read that. This one page, second, okay, so start from me. It's true one, yes.
Okay. Am I recording? It's not for him. A few years ago, when I got divorced, the world around me seemed dark and unfriendly. I felt like there's nothing to look forward to. I always felt like crying, and sometimes the tears were hard to stop. I was experiencing unusual aches and pain, had persistent negative thoughts and difficulty concentrating, and I was sensing guilt and worthlessness and had become a very pessimistic, and my future looked blank. My marriage to my ex-husband was a big mistake. Even though I was warned by my family members, I wanted to go ahead with it. Most of them had doubts about him, but I wanted to marry him at any cost. Maybe this is what is called love is blind. I had come to UK for higher studies, originally being from Pakistan. I met my ex when he was in UK on a business visit. After my marriage to him, there was not a single day in my life when I did not cry. We got married in Pakistan, and he accompanied me to UK as my dependent. We hardly lived together for 6 months, and he wanted to proceed to USA, and he did not like this country. He was always at home, sitting and chatting with girls on computer. I still did not complain. I always thought that everything would be all right one day. Then one day, he said to me that he has got a job in the U.S. and he's leaving and would be in touch with me on phone and net, and once he got a house there, he would call me. He left for USA, and his attitude towards me started changing day by day. He was ignoring my calls and was behaving very rudely, and also mentioned that he made a mistake by marrying me. I asked him for a reason, and he gave me all lame excuses, like there's no understanding between us, etc., etc.
This is not for the one from Pakistan. This is for everyone.
Yeah. During this time, I also came to learn that he was already married to a lady in Pakistan, and that he used to gamble gambling. I still did not want to leave him or take divorce from him. I was very much scared of this word, divorce. I prayed to Allah that he should stop his divorce and make my ex come back to me. Everyone was telling me to get rid of him, but I did not have the courage to do so. I was already in my early 30s, and with the label of divorce, I was sure that nobody would accept me and would be left all alone. I remember that it was month of Ramadan. I fasted, prayed all night, and when I got up in the morning, I received a phone call from my mom that my ex has sent divorce notice by post. I was completely shattered. I kept on thinking that, why did Allah not listen to my prayers? My mother kept telling me that there must be something good in it.
Everything happens because of a reason, and Allah knows better. I kept crying and was very upset the whole day. As I could not stop crying that night, I was getting up again and again and was very disturbed. I was raising my hands and asking Allah for help and was calling Allah, Allah, all the time. Then all of a sudden, I remember that my mother had gifted me Quran with translation and explanation a year ago and asked me to read it regularly so that I can find some comfort in it. Then I just got up from bed, performed wudu, and simply picked up the Quran and opened a page. And in front of me, these ayahs from Surah Talaq, and the translation of which is as follows. Okay, so Talaq 65:3 states, "And will provide him sustenance from a place he had never expected, and whoever relies on Allah, then Allah is sufficient for him. Indeed, Allah will accomplish his command. Indeed, Allah has set a proper measure for all things." And then 65:5 reads, "This is Allah's command that he has sent down towards you, and whoever fears Allah, Allah will relieve his sins and bestow upon him a great reward." After reading this, I understood that whatever happened was God's will, and all this happened because he could no more see me leading a suffocated life with my ex. In past, I spent most of my time pursuing my studies to build my career. I felt I never had time to read Quran and always felt very lazy to offer namaz too. But after that day onwards, I started praying regularly and also started reciting Quran every day. Almost 6 months passed by and I was happy, satisfied, and content with my life. I started making progress and was forgetting my past gradually. I knew that no matter what, Allah is always with me, and besides Allah, I do not need anyone. Then one day, a friend of my brother came to visit us and mentioned to my brother about a proposal for me. My brother discussed with me and invited the family over to our house. I was not sure whether this would finalize. I thought they would refuse after learning that I am a divorcee, but by the grace of Allah, everything worked out well. I met my future husband, and after 2 months, I got married again. Allah had put everything in place. Today, after almost 5 years, I can't believe I'm the same person. I got all the happiness I wanted, and everything I wished for came true. I'm now living a very happy married life with 3 beautiful children and a loving and caring husband. All this happened only due to du'as and blessings of Allah. I'm very much certain now that everything that happened in this world to us is only for our own good, and only God knows better what lies ahead in future. All the hardships I had gone through was nothing but a blessing in disguise. I never felt so close to Allah as I now feel. I was always doubtful whether du'a could change one's destiny or not, but now I know for sure that by offering namaz, reciting Quran, making du'a, and placing trust in Allah can certainly, definitely change your life. May Allah bless us all and give guidance to follow the right path. Ameen.
So actually, sisters, this is the reality of what we learned today. After hardship, there is ease. And inshallah, we will continue with these classes next week. And let us make the dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the heart, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell,
from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.